The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning. Welcome to the Navigating Your Life Show, featuring host Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. In the next hour, the goal of the show is to help you with the challenges facing you and potentially change your life forever. Now here's Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams.
Good morning, and thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join into the show today. We're so excited about our guest and the topic of today's show. We have with us today, as a guest, is Millie Hundley Horlacher.
Horlacher, yes.
Okay, and she's going to be joining us to talk about her book, The Seasons of Salt, which is a book about that has meditations throughout that are correlated to the Bible. And let me just again read you a little bit about her bio. Millie is a certified lay speaker in the United Methodist Church. She has served as a spiritual growth coordinator for the church on a local, district, and conference level. She was born in Kansas in 1933 and was subsequently baptized in the United Methodist Church. She also attended Kansas State College, and she and her husband currently live in Kansas, in Colby, Kansas as well. They have three children and five grandchildren, and they've fostered over a dozen foster children, as well as been the host to several exchange students in their lifetime. So without further ado, we have Millie. So how are you doing this morning?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. Thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate that.
Pleasure to be here.
Let me first start with asking you to share for our listeners, how would you describe your book? If you were describing it to somebody else who hadn't had a chance to see it, what were the words that you would use to give a description of what your book is about?
Well, it's a book of easy-to-read devotions that's worth your time to read.
Okay.
It's for those who seek some spiritual growth. It's an answer to a search for devotions that go beyond the sugary, everything is just fine type of devotion. It deals with the common seasons of everyday life and that are seasoned with the salt of faith. So I talk about weevils and noodles and the challenges of stewardship and possibilities of servanthood and the disciplines of spiritual growth.
And Millie, life is complicated, and we have so many things that are going after our time each day. What was the calling for you to use your time to write this book? Why did that appear on your radar screen as something you had to do?
Well, I am a lay speaker, and so I have collected meditations, and I have been very favorably received in that role and also as spiritual growth coordinator. People would ask me for copies of my meditations, and I would say, well, I'm going to write a book someday. So one time I was giving filling the pulpit in a neighboring church, and in the morning prayer, the liturgist said, and please God be with Millie as she writes her book. And I thought, well, if someone takes it to the top, what else could I do?
You had no choice, but
I had no choice after that.
Complete that assignment. Wow. And just describe for us, when you use the word meditation, what do you mean by that? Is that something that you're doing in the quietness of a moment, or is it something that you're starting the day with or ending the day with? When you describe the word meditation...
Well, the word meditation has certainly evolved over the years, I think, and so now it has perhaps a different connotation than it did when I was younger. It is a book of devotions, and it can be used either individually or in a group setting. Some people read one every day. Some people read several. it isn't dated, so you don't feel guilty if you missed a day.
Okay. And what is the purpose of the meditation? Would you say that meditations are another word for a prayer, or do you see them as something a little differently?
Well, in the case of the way the book is formatted, it starts with scripture, then has a little expository on that, or meditation, what I call the meditation on it, and just some things, thoughts to guide you in thinking about that scripture, and then closes with prayer. So it can be a quiet time, but there's no particular physical posture that's involved, or it's just simply trying to get in touch with God.
And so explain to me, as you see it, what's the difference between a prayer and a meditation? Is the meditation something that's more formal, and the prayer is your addition to the conversation with your higher power? How do you separate distinguish between the two?
Well, prayer would be certainly an intentional effort to communicate, for me, would be an intentional effort to communicate with God. Meditation might simply be a quiet time to center yourself.
Okay. All righty.
And listening for God, I think, would be a major part of prayer.
And just so that our listeners can appreciate what you feel the impact has been, do you have any personal stories or stories of others where they have seen that the practice that you're espousing in the book of taking the time to reflect and to pray has been beneficial for them? What have you seen in your travels personally and in the work that you do as a lay person in your church that it's had an impact on people's lives?
Well, because the meditations or devotions in the book are based on common everyday experiences, there have been a variety of responses, but in particular, I've received quite a few responses to people who have read the book, and one of us, she was at a crisis point in her life, and she found some guidance by reading some of my devotions, and others have lost a child through death, and this is we lost a daughter, and...
Sorry to hear that.
Pardon?
I said I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, thank you. But a lot of people have, parents have lost children mm-hmm. through death, and it doesn't seem to be a natural process that we expect to happen in our lives. So persons who have lost a child have found that particular devotion very helpful.
And one of the things that you talk about is that you want to crosswalk everyday events with scriptures and meditations and prayers. Could you just give us an example of how that, of an everyday situation and where you can take some time to pause yourself to see the relevance of meditation and prayer in an everyday kind of event?
Well, God speaks to us, I believe, and to each person in the way that gets their attention. For some of us, it's a very quiet voice, a still, small voice. For others, it might be a burning bush. And when I was a child in this one-room school, it was time for recess, and the room was all 8 grades in one room, and there was a little bit of restlessness. So she took a large pin, went behind the piano, and said, when we could hear that pin drop, we could be dismissed. And so we immediately grew very, very quiet, and when we could hear the pin drop, then we were dismissed, and that was a real lesson for me, that you have to quiet down and listen for God. So that was one experience. And then I also talk about weevils and the noodles, and sometimes
I'm sorry, Millie, what is a weevil?
A weevil, well, what I'm talking about was just the larvae of that sometimes we find little larvae in our dry goods in the pantry.
Okay.
It can be in noodles or rice or flour. In this case, it was noodles, and I had planned chicken and noodles, and usually I'm quite flexible. This time I was not. And when I tried to get the weevils out of the noodles, and I decided that other people in other countries eat those all the time and they're nutritious, but I couldn't manage it. But I did, that was a lesson for me to not be so stubborn and to be flexible and maybe have to change my plans once in a while.
And so I guess if I'm hearing you clearly is that as you travel through each and every day, you're just treasuring the moments that you have, and really trying to look at the message that, you know, comes from watching that experience, that there's information in the little things that happen as well as in the large things. But if I got the reading of your book correctly, the impression from it is that there are so many little things that are giving us messages and allow for us to have a communication with a higher power, that if we're not careful, we can miss all those.
I think that's very true. I tried to model my book, I think, after the parables. You know, when Jesus gave his parables, it was common everyday experiences, just little things that were familiar to his audience. Mm-hmm. And so I tried to use that format in the we all have common experiences, and of course, some people will relate to one part of the book rather than another part, but there is a commonality there. And our lives can really be a metaphor for engagement with God, I think.
Wow. And I just want to help our listeners understand how you set your book out, because I think it's really wonderful. You'll take an area that looks at chores, the ability to be enabled to love, identity, but you just take the everyday things, and you have broken it into chapters. Here's one that's titled "Everybody Needs a Bath."
Yes.
And just as for our listeners, we have about 3 minutes until we take a break, Millie. But just share with us what that story was about. If I know there's so many in the book, but if the "Everybody Needs a Bath," what was that story attempting to bring to the forefront?
Well, that we all sin, and we all need to be cleansed. And so I started out with just taking baths on the farm when we were growing up and what that meant. But everyone does need a bath.
Wow.
Everyone needs the bath of cleansing that Christ can give us.
Wow.
We all make mistakes, and so we all have to come before Christ and confess those sins, which we all have, and then we are cleansed.
Wow. And I just want to just read something, one of the last paragraphs before you talk about the prayer. You say, "We need a bath, we scrub with soap, we soak in scalding water, yet the smudges of our failed reformations remain.
Yes.
Finally, with glistening eyes or racking sobs, we shed tears of repentance. We humbly bow before God, and the cleansing bath of our faithful and just God leaves us truly clean."
Yes.
Wow. So I think I and our listeners will probably never use the ivory soap the same way after reading that passage from your book. So we're going to come back in a little while after our break and continue our conversation with Millie. And I want to make sure I say your last name correctly, Millie. What is it again?
Horlocker,
okay. Yes. And so we have Millie Horlocker with us, and we're going to be back after the break to continue our conversation regarding her book called The Seasons of Salt.
Thank you.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Hyperbike Performance Centers, the extreme motorcycle tuning facility for performance-minded riders. For the most advanced tuning possible, bring your bike in for a diagnostic in their climate-controlled dyno room. Take advantage of their suspension services designed to tweak your bike's suspension till it fits your personal riding needs. All of their performance products are tested in their facility first. Brakes, wheels, alarms, GPS, and more. Hyperbike Performance Centers on Route 40 West, Frederick, or visit hyperbikeperformancecenters.com.
Wielding power, shaping environments and outcomes, and making things happen are all essential characteristics of great leaders. Yet these qualities alone are not enough to ensure your success. In a complex world, how do you decide what's most important to you? In your career, your relationships, your finances, your family, in the world around you, in the whole of your life at large? Dr. Joseph Riggio, the host of Leadership Intuition, says that personal leadership, the desire to take charge of your life, is the key to creating futures that work and building a life worth living. Join Joseph as he reveals the power of uncovering and living your own personal mythology, the key to personal transformation, exquisite performance, and social influence. Learn to look inside and discover your personal mythology and unique leadership style. Go beyond conventional advice and discover your unique success blueprint on Leadership Intuitions with Dr. Joseph Riggio each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on the Voice America channel. Leadership Intuitions, power, achievement, relationships.
Hey, Dad.
What?
I can't get the ketchup bottle open.
Here, let me try. Here you go.
Thanks.
You don't have to be a hero to be a hero. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Tuned in to the Navigating Your Life Show with Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. To participate in our discussion, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to host@navigatingyourlifeshow.net. Now, back to the program.
Well, welcome back. We have with us Millie Horlacka, who is the author of Seasons of Salt, a book of meditations, and Millie was just describing before the break some of her inspirations for putting the book together and really the practicality of taking time to reflect in the simple as well as complicated things that have in our life. I was just talking to Millie during the break, and she's in Kansas and was sharing that they've had 4 or 5 inches of snow already. And this is their second snowstorm, or at least falling of snow in the last month or so. And it's just, you know, important as we all are in different parts of the country, just recognize is that, you know, there are just different seasons that we all go through. And some of us go through them earlier and some of us later, but we all go through them in our lives. And I just think as we're sitting here in the northeast part of the country, and it's about, I guess it's going to be about 60 degrees today, and the sun is out, and no snow on the ground, so I have plenty of leaves. It's interesting to hear that, you know, Millie's in Kansas, and there's snow on the ground, and she says it's beautiful because it's not very windy, and that's outstanding. So Millie, as we continue our conversation here, one of the questions that came as I read your book was that, do you feel that there's anything that's too trivial that happened in our life that we don't want to have a conversation with a higher power about? Do you think that this everything has meaning, or there are some things that, you know, we should leave off the radar screen and not concentrate on?
Well, I think God is with us in the big things as well as the little things, and I think sometimes God smiles or laughs at what I do or say, and sometimes probably frowns, but no, I think God is with us, period, in the big and the small, and whether we recognize that or not is up to us, mm-hmm. But God is there.
Wow. Let me ask you this question, Millie. Is when people have come to you and said, hey, some bad things have happened. You mentioned earlier about the loss of one of your children at an earlier age. How do you explain if when you make the statement that God is with you all the time, and then if God's there, how do you explain some of these things that have gone a little bit wrong, which I think has sometimes challenged people's relationship with God and their higher power because they just can't seem to correlate the two. So in your work with people, how do you get them to understand he's with you, he's omnipresent, he's always there, but how do you then explain some of the bad things or challenging things that happen?
Well, one of my explanations, and of course, theologians have tried to grapple with this for centuries. One of my explanations is that we live in an orderly universe, and God has. It would be terrible to be chaotic. We wouldn't know whether the sun would come up, for instance. But the sun does come up, and there is gravity. And so those laws, sometimes, it's just the natural consequence then of those laws that tragedy might occur. If two cars collide, there will be injuries. But God is with us, and I think that, for instance, in the death of our daughter, I prayed first. The circumstances of that were that we were helping them set up their trailer home. They were moving back to town, and Joan was at one end of the trailer, and I was on one side, and my husband and her husband were on the other side, and a sudden gust of wind blew it off the jacks and came down on top of Joan and I. And Joan was killed instantly. I could see her, but I could not move. I was trapped. And I prayed that I would die, and that did not happen. And then I prayed that I would be unconscious, and that did not happen. But I never felt abandoned by God. I gave Joan to God, although I didn't need to, of course, but I was a parent to the end. And then I prayed that I just felt the Holy Spirit with me. And certainly the prayers of others supported us through those coming weeks. Hmm. So I think, and Jesus wept, you know, at the death of his friend Lazarus. So I think Jesus weeps with us sometimes also. That doesn't mean that God, the ultimate will of God will prevail in whatever circumstances happen. But God is with us through those circumstances.
Wow. And so is it your belief that sometimes the way in which life is arranged and how we build things and how we handle the things that we have, that we put things a little bit out of balance and out of the order, and because of that we've taken greater charge, and because our hands, for lack of a term, better term, is all over it, that sometimes these are the consequences for our involvement in living our lives, that sometimes things will go awry. Is that a...
Well, there are consequences to actions, and I believe that we do have a personal responsibility. My personal belief is that we aren't puppets, that God doesn't just pull strings, and neither do I believe that we are intentionally tested just to see how tough we are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's not my vision of God. It might be some people's, but it is not mine, so... I just feel that God is with me through all of life. Now, sometimes I feel distant, and I'm the one that's hiding, but God is there.
Sure. And you've been blessed with children, and it seems like a long marriage. And what do you think have been the things that have kept all of that stuff together?
Well, certainly our faith has. We have... my husband and I read devotions every morning, and we did that with our children. We have tried to be intentional in our faith and have an integrity to our lives.
Mm-hmm. And when you hear, you know, people that are going through some of the challenges that are going on in life now, some of the financial challenges, when you hear about divorce and separation and other things, what are some of the things that come to your mind as a person who wants to aid people in trying to navigate life in a different kind of way? What are some of the things that come to your mind as what people need to be doing that they're not doing to really make life somewhat better than what it is for so many people?
I think that we really don't reach a fullness of our lives until we reach out to others, until you can become, I think, too self-centered.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go beyond self in order to live a full life. And I think that when we are faced with challenges, there are dark moments in our lives and in people of faith. We're not always on a high mountaintop, but neither are we always in a valley. In fact, most of our lives are on a plain where it's neither up nor down. It's just in the meantime.
Right. And I guess you've already answered this, but I think it's important to emphasize this, but I would say from what you shared that you've never felt abandoned by God, that you have always felt that he's present, he's there. You may have walked away from your higher power at times, but if I understand you correctly, it's never been the opposite.
No, I've never felt abandoned, not even with the death of our daughter. I didn't feel abandoned by God. I felt God was with us in our suffering and offering us comfort.
Wow. When you look at some of the challenges that are going on, what do you think are some of the reasons why the world is in such a challenging situation now? When you look at, you know, the state of financial affairs, or you look at, so if you had a room full of business leaders in the room and they're saying, well, help me understand the message of the seasons of salt and how I can conduct my business better, what if you had that opportunity, what would you say to a group of people who may not be the quickest person to pick up your book and to use it? Because I think there's so much relevance in your book to lots of different populations, but I think all, very often they may not see the crosswalk.
Well, I think that integrity in our lives, and as I said before, reaching out and going beyond self, I think, well, this coming, if you're in a liturgical calendar, this coming Sunday is Christ the King Sunday, and there are so many connotations and interpretations of what the word king means, but sometimes we have the wrong king at the center of our lives. We have what we're at one time was a pharaoh, and now we have other gods in the center, and that gets us off course. So I think if we go back to having God the center of our lives, then that's we can live lives of integrity and not be abandoned, not feel abandoned.
Well, in so many different areas, it seems like, you know, God has been pushed out. You know, if you try to have a prayer group at work, or if you try to do something in school, or you try to go other places, you may be pushed out and not encouraged. Why do you think it's so difficult for people to find a way to include that part in their daily life and in their business, in their school, in their community? What do you think has been made so difficult for that to be included?
Well, and in my opinion, it is not difficult. I think that we were never encouraged to pray on the street corner. That was one of the parables that is in the New Testament. And I think that we always can have God at the center of our lives. Now, there are differences of opinion on separation of church and state, and that's a whole different area. But certainly in our own lives, God has never been outlawed. And we can practice our faith, our personal faith and our corporate worship. That's never been outlawed. So God in the public place is another debate. And as far as things like posting the Ten Commandments, or we are a multiple ethnic and religious society, and I think we need to honor that.
And I think we all recognize that we have a lot more choices than we think, and so often we fall back into the excuses that others give as the reason why stuff can't be the way we want it to be. But I think a lot of times, if we're honest with ourselves, we're using those excuses to echo what we want to echo.
I would certainly agree with that. I think it's scapegoating sometimes for our own lack of commitment, that we say, well, we couldn't do this because so-and-so didn't want us to, or we couldn't put our symbols where we wanted to. But I think there are many faiths, and certainly in the United States, we've always had groups of people who differed in their religious beliefs. And
Billy, we're going to take a break, and we're going to finish our conversation on the other side.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's pretty scary, Ryan, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Hyperbike Performance Centers, the extreme motorcycle tuning facility for performance-minded riders. For the most advanced tuning possible, bring your bike in for a diagnostic in their climate-controlled dyno room. Take advantage of their suspension services designed to tweak your bike's suspension till it fits your personal riding needs. All of their performance products are tested in their facility first. Brakes, wheels, alarms, GPS, and more. Hyperbike Performance Centers on Route 40 West, Frederick, or visit hyperbikeperformancecenters.com.
Is there truly a lesson in every situation? Can you learn from another person's experiences, or are lessons learned when they only happen to you? Dave Felzer, number one national and number one international best-selling author, challenges listeners to stand tall, to be accountable no matter what the setbacks, and to recommit to enhancing their lives as well as assisting others around them. Listen to the Dave Felzer Show every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Radio Network.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. Tuned in to the Navigating Your Life Show with Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. To participate in our discussion, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to host@navigatingyourlifeshow.net. Now, back to the program.
Well, we are back, and we have with us Millie Horlocker, who is the author of Seasons of Salt, a book about meditations, and I just wanted to read a short one with you that I think really emphasizes the beauty of the book. So she has a short little story as part of one of her chapters, and it's titled Three Strikes, and she suggests that you read John 18:15 through 17 and 25 through 28. But it says, strike three, you're out. Shoulders slumped, head bowed, my little friend shuffled from the field. I could sense his utter discouragement. He had promised his teammates that this time he would be the one to hit the home run to win the game. He tried hard. Three times he had swung the bat with all his might and yet missed the ball. Would they forgive him if they lost the game? Would he ever have the courage to be at bat again? From neighborhood baseball games and vacant lots to major league games and huge stadiums, the rules are the same. Three strikes and you're out. We carry those rules with us into our workplaces and even into our homes. Three strikes or three mistakes, just three failures, and you're out of the game, out of a job, or at the very least, in the timeout corner. We all know the rules. Patience has limits. Goals must be met. Allowing three chances seems generous. The rules of the game are unwavering. We might not be able to imagine ourselves betraying Jesus as Judas did, but the story of Peter's denial is altogether different. We can sympathize with Peter. We know our own limits all too well. We know the temptation to put our own well-being ahead of our discipleship, longing to be accepted and approved by our friends and family often drives us to denial. We sometimes remain silent rather than take the risk involved in confronting injustice to our neighbors. We prefer to conform, to keep our lives running smoothly, We have many traveling companions on the road to wealth and fame. We might marvel that Peter denied Jesus only three times. Peter's denials were no surprise. Like some of us, Peter spoke and acted on impulse. He made hasty promises that he could not keep. Peter was very human. We too are human. We struggle to forgive our friends who make false accusations against us or betray our confidence. Our hearts are broken when our friends deny us. Yet rather than stand firm in the face of danger, we deny our friends. Only a great love can save us from ourselves. But three strikes did not put Peter out. Peter's limited love, and our limited love in sharp contrast to the limitless love of Jesus. The Gospels do not record that Jesus rebuked Peter for his denials. The story goes on because the story is primarily about Jesus, not about Peter. Jesus expresses his love by laying down his life for his friends, even for Peter, and even for us. So Millie, just share with us, when you were putting this together, what were you trying to make sure that people understood about some of the limitations that we have placed on ourself and others about the wisdom of doing so?
Well, we do place limitations on ourselves and others, and we are limited. We are human, but God has a limitless love, and God's love for us is always there. We don't want to deny Christ, but sometimes we're afraid, and we deny by actions or by silence. But God is there and willing to accept and love us through it all. It's limitless love.
And when you came up with the title "Seasons of Salt," I think you touched on this a little bit. Where was the genesis of that title?
Well, I've always liked the verse about salt that hasn't lost its savor. And of course, salt is mentioned many times in the Bible and was used for a variety of reasons, as seasoning and as a preservative, and had symbolic meanings also. And it seemed to me that so many of the devotions that were available at this time, that people were wanting something easy to use and easy to read and had meaning, but so many of them were just like whipped cream. Not much there, really. Not much nourishment, and like whipped cream or candy, and there was nothing that stayed. But salt stays, and it spreads through. If you have a pot of soup and you add a pinch of salt, that salt spreads through the whole pot of soup and gives flavor and enhances that. And I think that's what I wanted to express here, that all through the seasons of our lives, that salt of faith can flavor our lives.
And when people are going to the bookstore or looking online to get something to aid them in their spiritual journey, why do you hope that they would pick your book up? What sets it apart as something that's different and useful to people?
Well, I think the fact that it does have simple truth, simple stories that actually have profound meaning. I think, if I could say that without bragging too much, but I think there are simple truths that have profound meaning for everyone, and even people around the world have these. Everyone is some sort of a family and have these common experiences. So I think that my book is acceptable and helpful in those ways. And then I tried to have the format also that would be easy to use, so that I have scriptures listed and then I have the titles listed, and as you said, divided into common experiences that we have, from childhood games to the family to the liturgical year, for those who are familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think that it's in large print and is easy to use. They're short, they're undated, so they're useful for private or group devotions.
I think it
fills an important niche in that respect.
Sure. And have you heard any stories of people who have used it, and what are they coming back and sharing? What are your readers telling you?
Well, they're telling me, for instance, when I talk about tea, that they'll never have another cup of tea without thinking of my devotions on tea bags, or they won't take a bath without thinking of everyone needs a bath. just those common experiences, and then making banana bread with, and forgetting to put the bananas in. Everyone does similar things like that. So it, when they do these common things, then everyday events in their lives, they're reminded of a possible deeper meaning to that event.
And Millie, one of the challenges that I've seen in people's lives is the ability to forgive some of the things that have happened, that people have experienced. What has been the guidance you've given for people just as they try to move on from some of the challenges that they've had? How are you encouraging, or how have you encouraged them to forgive?
Well, first of all, Christ forgives us, and the forgiveness, there are a multitude of books written by great theologians, and I'm certainly not a theologian, on forgiveness and how important it is, because to not forgive destroys the person who has been injured. If someone has caused injury to me psychologically or socially or whatever, and I hold that grudge, then I'm the one that's injured, not the other person. So forgiveness is not only helpful in just theory and moving, let the other person move on, but allows the person who's been injured to move on instead of continuing to be injured. It gives power. Forgiveness gives power back to the person who was injured. It's a selfish explanation, I guess.
Sure. And one of the things that that example brings up, I heard a story, I don't know if it's true or not, but that when Gerald Ford became president, that he asked that the presidential music that is generally played when he enters the room not be played. And then he would go into places and enter the room, and people wouldn't realize he was there. And so, in short order, if the story is true, he asked for that music to come on back again and for it to be played. And one of the things that that highlights is that power is something, we have to give people power. We have to give circumstances power in order for them to have it over us. And if we don't play the music or do something different when their music begins to play, then they're not as powerful as we would want to believe. Would you agree or disagree with that as a way of looking at?
Well, I think I would agree in general, at least, because we have power. We control our own emotions. I cannot control your emotions. I can't control your reaction to an event, but I can control my own, mm-hmm. and with God's help. And so that's what I think, where forgiveness enters in there, and the power to forgive.
Wow. And again, I think it's so important to understand that so often we're holding our own self back. And one of the things that I got from reading your book was that, you know, a lot of times we're the only person that's standing in our way of getting the stuff that we're looking for to improve our lives. And if we can, you know, get out of our own way by just changing our perspective, which I think is really what your book really does, that's going to be the key to us moving to the next level. Would you agree with that interpretation?
Well, I think in general, certainly, and different people will get different things from the book depending on their own circumstances at
sure.
the time when they read the book or read a particular meditation. For some, there would be no meaning at all, and for others, it would strike a chord of meaning.
And Millie, I think you also bring up a good point there as we get ready to take a break, is that, you know, when you read it today, it may not have any relevance, but let's just say the events change and 2 or 3 months from now, something that you read about the tea bag or something may have a relevance to you, but it's in your library now and you can pull it out and use it. So we'll finish our conversation on the other side of this break.
Thank you.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Longtime listener. First time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burritos.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad.